This podcast may contain content that is graphic and disturbing in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, everyone. Well, today I thought I would give you a break from listening to me. And in this episode, you'll hear from another true crime podcast called The World's Dumbest Criminals, hosted by my fellow Australian podcaster, Tara Saraban, who you might know from her other podcast, Bloody Murder. This podcast is just as it sounds, a collection of hilarious stories of criminals doing absolutely dumb things. So be prepared for a very good laugh. So enjoy the show.
Hey, I'm Tara Saraban, and you're listening to World's Dumbest Criminals, an upbeat podcast about deadbeat crims. If you're keen to hear about the most ridiculous, bizarre, and downright stupid criminals and crime stories in the world ever, you've come to the right place. In today's episode, I'll be talking about an elderly serial sexual offender from the UK who likes to stroke his junk at unwilling viewers in crowded places. A Florida woman who committed several petty crimes but claimed she only got in trouble for them because people were jealous of how good her body looked. An inept ham thief from Spain who left a trail of fat leading to his front door, and much more. Alrighty, let's get cracking. On the afternoon of December 12, 2020, serial flasher Jeffrey Chambers decided to go to the Hightown markets in Hereford, England. The markets were busy that Sunday with people out and about doing their Christmas shopping, but the 66-year-old was not going to the markets to shop. Oh, no, 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 no. Chambers, who had been recently released from prison after serving time for two attempted child sex offences, liked going to crowded areas for more nefarious reasons. At 12:30 p.m, an off-duty police officer noticed Chambers leaning provocatively against a market stall pole. He was wearing a coat, tight leggings, and a face mask and kept trying to catch the eye of the officer's wife. He was stroking a large, long, hard item in the crotch area of his leggings, and he didn't want the officer's wife to miss out on that visual. Unfortunately for her eyeball, she did notice him caressing a substantial length of something through his leggings. According to witnesses, he continued to simulate sex acts and paraded himself around the market for more than an hour, which is quite a long time to be doing pervy performance art that nobody wants to watch. One witness told the media his antics made her and her 14-year-old daughter both feel sick enough to have to go home. After more than 60 minutes of this fuckery, the police arrived to shut down the shit show. They had Chambers remove the large, long, hard object from his leggings. No, it wasn't a skin flute. It actually turned out to be a zucchini that he'd tied around his waist with a piece of string. When officers searched the dirty old bugger's car, they found even more zucchinis. And none of them ever ate zoodles again. Later in court, prosecutor Kathleen Orchard revealed that Chambers had a long history of indecent exposures, which resulted in 31 charges, prison time, and sexual harm prevention orders. After a particularly sordid public display, a judge had even banned him from wearing shorts. The court was told that Chambers had recently committed two similar unwanted risque burlesque acts in Swansea and Cardiff, but had only received a warning from police despite his extensive history of offending. Chambers told the police during an interview that his sexually overt public displays were something he did to help get him out of a low mood. I didn't realise bumming out hundreds of people could be a big old mood booster, but okay. Chambers' defence tried to argue that he was a decent prospect for rehabilitation, but the judge wasn't buying it, as it's incredibly obvious that he isn't. The defence argued any prison sentence should be suspended and said Chambers' intentions were not to convey sexual connotations, but that's how it was perceived by some individuals, and he wanted it to be more of a light-hearted act. Did you clock the wording there? Him rubbing a phallic object in the crotch area of his leggings while making eye contact with women and children was perceived by some individuals to have sexual connotations. Get your minds out of the gutter, people. A serial sexual offender who was recently released from prison after serving time for 2 attempted child sex offences wasn't trying to do something obscene. No. He was partaking in a light-hearted act. If your dirty little minds thought there was something sexual about that, well, that's on you, not on the guy rubbing his zucchini stunt dick in public. During sentencing, Judge Martin Jackson said most shoppers who witnessed his randy exhibit in Hightown were disgusted and repulsed by his offensive, disturbing, and alarming antics. Chambers pleaded guilty to 1 count of public order offence and 1 count of outraging public decency. He was sentenced to 8 months in prison and had his current sexual harm prevention order modified, possibly to include a section about vegetables. Less than 6 months later, Chambers was out of prison and looking to take his light-hearted sexual offending to the seaside. Who doesn't love to go for a swim, feel the sand between your toes, and observe the sad sausage and sagging ball sack of an elderly exhibitionist? Now 67 years old, Chambers took his shit show on the road to Barry Island in South Wales to display and rub his wrinkly junk in front of everyone, including a group of teenage girls. The Hereford Times wrote that the prosecutor in this case, Geoffrey Jones, told Newport Crown Court all about Chambers' latest outrageous display. At around 2:30 p.m. on Sunday, June 13th, some accidental audience members got an eyeful of Chambers' most recent foray into revolting performance art. They spoke to police officers on the promenade and informed them of his offensive display on the crowded beach in front of hundreds of people. They'd been warned about him by a father who was there with his wife and young children. Chambers, who was wearing sunglasses and loose-fitting shorty shorts, was exposing his testicles and stroking his penis near a group of 8 teenage girls on the sand. The father was disgusted and angry about having ringside seats to Grandpa gone wild. In fact, nobody in the vicinity was enjoying his balls-out budget burlesque at all. No doubt the teenage girls were saying to each other, "Ew, it looks like a penis, only smaller." After the tip-off, the police snuck up behind Chambers and saw that his meat and 2 veg were hanging out of his shorts. In case you were wondering, listeners, this is how you get yourself banned from wearing shorts. When he realised the cops had copped an eyeful of his not-so-secret garden, Chambers tried to scamper off, but they easily caught up with him and put him under arrest. I love the image of him trying to run away from the cops through the sand, his junk dangling out the bottom of his shorty shorts, and everyone just laughing at him. Even if he had escaped from them, he wouldn't have been hard to find. Old dude stroking his junk in front of kiddies in a populated area? That's the work of Geoffrey Chambers for sure. In court on this day's charges, it was revealed that Chambers had exposed himself at other Welsh tourist resorts like Tenby and Treco Bay in Porthcawl. He again pleaded guilty to outraging public decency and being in breach of a sexual harm prevention order. Judge Catherine Richards told Chambers, "You are addicted to exposing yourself. You travelled around 30 miles from your home to expose yourself on a busy beach at Barry Island. This was a planned offence where children and young people could be found, and not a beach where there were hundreds, if not thousands, of people." He was sentenced to 22 months in jail. His defence lawyer, Rosamond Rutter, clutched at the same straws his defence lawyer in the zucchini case did. She said, "He has tried to explain his behaviour by saying he does it when he is in a low mood and wants to cheer himself up. And here I am, taking antidepressants like a fucking idiot. Next time I'm down, I'll simply tie a zucchini on a string around my waist and go to the markets, or put on some shorts and head to a crowded beach. Sure, I'll upset hundreds of people with my obscene display, but hey, at least I'll cheer myself up a bit. And obviously, that's all that really matters here, right? At around 5 p.m. on May 3rd, 2021, the manager of the Country Inn and Suites in Ocala, Florida, noticed a strange woman lying out by the pool. As the manager had never seen the woman, 42-year-old Melody Carr, before, and didn't remember her checking into the hotel, she approached her and asked her what room she was staying in. Bikini-clad Melody did not take kindly to this line of questioning and became very irate, created a scene, and refused to answer the manager's question. Then she stormed off like a petulant child. The manager called the police to report that Melody was causing a disturbance and she wanted her cited for trespassing. The responding officer went looking for Melody and managed to locate her walking a dog at the nearby La Quinta Inn. When the officer spoke to her, she became verbally aggressive. She insisted she had not done anything wrong and demanded that the officer leave her alone. She told the cop that the manager at the Country Inn only called the police on her because she was jealous that her body looked good. Sure, Melody. It wasn't because you were trespassing or that you cussed her out. It was just because she was jelly of your bikini body. I bet this kind of thing happens to Melody a lot. And it's not because she thinks the law doesn't apply to her. It's just that everyone is so fucking jealous of how good her body looks. Grr, drives them wild and makes them angry and they're just out to get her. Melody told the officer that her boyfriend was staying at the hotel, but they got into an argument and he stormed off. And she was probably pretty pissed about it because storming off is her thing. And I'm sure they only had a fight in the first place because she's just so damn good looking. Melody said she'd still been hanging out at the hotel because her white convertible Mustang was parked there and it wasn't working properly. The police said she'd have to move her car or it would be towed. So she jumped the fence to get to her car and accelerated so fast she burned rubber as she pulled into a parking spot directly in front of the one she was in. This one belonged to a service station. The police said her car was stopped by the parking bumper because she'd taken off at such speed that she couldn't brake fast enough. Her car probably just hates her because she's beautiful. Pissed off, Melody went into the service station to try to sweet-talk the manager into letting her leave her car there until it could be repaired. The manager, who was probably green with envy at the sight of her banging body, refused to let her do so. Bastard! Melody got mad at him and then stormed out. The bemused police officer who had been observing Melody's erratic and incredibly attractive behaviour went up to have a word with her. As she turned to cuss him out, he noticed that her breath reeked of alcohol and arrested her for disorderly intoxication. As she was being handcuffed, Melody claimed she'd only had one drink and it was at 9 a.m. that morning. Why? She was unable to explain why she still smelled of alcohol and appeared drunk 8 hours later, but maybe she'd lied about having just the one drink, or maybe the drink she'd consumed had been an entire bucket of vodka. Don't you just hate it when you get arrested for drunkenly trespassing just because some frumpy ugger is jealous of how hot you look in a bikini? I know I do.
Oh, yeah, that's code 4, Soto and Alcazar, suspects are GOA.
Domingo Infante arrived at his tapas bar in southwestern Spain on a Monday morning in February 2016 to find the door smashed open. After entering the property, he saw the till and TV had been stolen, along with 7 legs of cured ham that had been hanging above the bar. While Domingo spoke to the police and waited for a locksmith to arrive, his wife Christina and mother-in-law Maria did some investigating of their own. It didn't take them long to find a clue. They noticed a trail of ham fat the thief had left behind after dragging the legs along the road. They thought the fat trail would probably lead to a car park where the thief had placed their ill-gotten meat in a vehicle before driving off. Instead, it actually led to the front door of a house in the street behind the business. Domingo said, "We didn't know whether to laugh or cry. It's like something out of a silly film. I've never imagined my wife and mother-in-law would turn out to be the detectives who solved this." There were traces of fat everywhere, on the pavement outside the property, the stairs, and even the front door. It turned out the culprit lived in the house behind the tapas bar with his parents, who wouldn't let the police in at first, but they got a search warrant within around 20 minutes. Once inside the house, they found the stolen till and TV, along with two of the seven missing legs of ham. This begs the question, did the thief and his parents manage to eat five legs of cured ham while they waited 20 minutes for the police to obtain a search warrant? Domingo told the media, "Each leg was worth around 120 euros, and the till, which had around 500 euros in it, was empty. But every cloud has its silver lining, and it looks like we'll be getting some of what was taken back, thanks to my wife and mother-in-law." Detectives continued to search for the five missing legs of ham, which they believed to be in the possession of the fat-covered criminal mastermind's accomplices. Though, I guess if the thief and his folks did eat the other five legs of ham while waiting for the police to obtain a search warrant, their indigestion would be punishment enough. To finish up, I have a few punchline crimes for you. These are cases with hardly any information available, and they sound more like jokes than something that actually happened. A gang of Colombian robbers broke into a small shop in the North Caribbean town of Juan de Acosta at 2 a.m. and stole rum, oil, rice, and cans of tuna and sardines. They had a cunning plan to transport the stolen goods on a 10-year-old donkey named Xavi, who they'd stolen 12 hours earlier. But Xavi had other ideas. He was a law-abiding donkey who did not wish to be an accessory to a crime. After they loaded their bounty atop the donkey, he let out a series of loud hee-haws, which alerted nearby police. When the cops rocked up, the robbers ran off, leaving the donkey and the stolen goods behind. All the items that had been stolen were returned to the store. Xavi, the crime-fighting donkey, was held in the town police station for 12 hours until his owner was notified and came to pick him up.
1311, Roger. 1375 is responding for transportation. Stand by.
32-year-old Amy Sieber was busted during her shift at a Wendy's in Georgia after a customer called 911 complaining that she'd found a half-smoked joint in her cheeseburger. The customer met up with police at the Wendy's where she ordered the burger, and Amy immediately put her hand up to take responsibility for the crime. Amy, who wins points for her honesty but none for her burger-making skills, told the police that she'd been smoking weed on the job and misplaced the blunt inside the customer's burger, right on top of the pickle. The joint was taken as evidence, and honest Amy was arrested for possession of marijuana and fired from her job. The customer claimed to have experienced food poisoning-type symptoms after eating some of the burger and said that they had to be hospitalised. Low tolerance, mate. A rep for Wendy's told TMZ, "Obviously the employee broke the rules and did not follow proper food handling steps." I guess it's somewhat comforting to know that putting your half-smoked blunt in someone's cheeseburger is not considered a proper food handling step at Wendy's.
471,
a petty criminal named Mauricio Fierro parked in front of a pharmacy in São Paulo, Brazil, and left the engine running so he could make a quick getaway after he went inside to rob them. As he was collecting money from the pharmacy staff, CCTV cameras outside filmed another thief running over to his vehicle and driving off in it. Fierro exited the shop carrying a bag of money, only to find his escape car had been pinched. As he looked around to see where it had gone, another man ran up to him, grabbed his bag of stolen money, and ran away. Pissed off that he'd just been robbed twice in a matter of seconds, Fierro went to the police station to report the crimes. When he was there, he bumped into the pharmacy owner who he had just robbed. The pharmacy owner fingered Fierro and the police arrested him on the spot. For some reason, they then allowed a local TV news crew into the station for an interview. Speaking to reporters, Fierro bemoaned the level of crime in the city and complained that he had not been able to enjoy his car, which he said had cost him a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to attain. When the news crew asked when he'd bought the car, he admitted that he'd actually stolen it the day before. God. He told them, "These days, violence is so great that we can't even live a dishonest life anymore." This brings me to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe if you want to stay up to date with all future episodes. If you liked what you heard, please leave a review. Thank you to SK1885 from the USA for doing just that. If you'd like more dumb criminals in your life, you could join our World's Dumbest Criminals podcast Facebook group or follow us on Twitter at WDCriminalsPod and Instagram at World's Dumbest Criminals Podcast. If you'd like to support the show and get access to ad-free episodes, monthly bonus episodes, and a variety of merchandise, head on over to patreon.com/World's Dumbest Criminals. I released a special patron-only episode last week. It was about some of the cases Bob Innes mentioned in the Rent-A-Hitman special, because I know we were all wondering who would actually try to hire a hitman through the website. It's some kooky stuff. Stay tuned after the closing music to hear a promo from my friends Melissa and Mandy's immensely popular true crime podcast, Mums and Murder. Till next week. Look after yourself, stay out of trouble, and whatever you do, don't commit a crime that makes you end up on this podcast.
Hey guys, if you're looking for your next binge-worthy podcast and you like your true crime light on the gore, then you should check out our show, Moms and Murder, a true crime podcast hosted by myself, Mandy, and my dear friend, Melissa. Some of our recent episodes include one about the craziest hotel bombing you've never heard of, the crimes of Lou Pearlman, and even the murder of pop superstar Selena.
Each Tuesday, we give our take on a new crime story, balancing our delivery of facts and levity while still giving the stories the respect they deserve and making you feel like you're part of our conversation. Moms and Murder covers both the lesser known and the more familiar stories, and there are over 200 episodes to binge, so you can get started right now. Search Moms and Murder on your favorite podcast app and subscribe so you never miss a new episode.